Okay. So we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, chapter 8, text 45. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Treya chapa, Treya chopanishad, Treya chopanishad bischa. Sankhya yoga sattva tai. Upagiyamana mahatmyam. Harim samanya tatmajam. Somebody could chant. Matices. Okay, word for word. Treya, by studying the three Vedas. Sama, Yajur, and Atharva. Cha, also. Upanishad, bihi, cha, and by studying the Vedic knowledge of the Upanishads. Sankhya Yoga, by reading the literature of Sankhya Yoga. Cha, and Sattva Tai, by the great sages and devotees, or by reading Vaishnava Tantra, Pancharatras. Upagiyamana mahatmyam, those glories are worshipped, by all these Vedic literatures. Harim, unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sa Shi Amantyata, considered ordinary. Atmajam, as her son. Translation. The glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are studied through the three Vedas, the Upanishads, the literature of Sankhya Yoga, and other Vaishnava literature. Yet Mother Yasoda considered that the Supreme Person her ordinary child. Purport. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 15:15, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, the purpose of studying the three Vedas is to understand Him. Vaidaischa sarvir aham eva vedya. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained to Sanatana Goswami that there are three purposes in the Vedas. One is to understand our relationship with Krishna, sambandha. Another is to act according to that relationship, abhideya. And the third is to reach the ultimate goal, prayojana. The word prayojana means necessities. And the ultimate necessity is explained by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, prema pumarto mahan. The greatest necessity for a human being is the achievement of love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Here we see that Mother Yasoda is on the highest stage of necessity, for she is completely absorbed in love for Krishna. In the beginning, the Vedic purpose is pursued in three ways, trayi, by karmakanda, jnanakanda, and upasanakanda. When one reaches the complete, perfect stage of upasanakanda, one comes to worship Narayana, or Lord Vishnu. When Parvati asked Lord Mahadev, Lord Shiva, what is the best method of upasana, or worship? Lord Shiva answered, Aradhananam sarvesham Vishnur aradhanam param. Vishnu pasana, or Vishnu aradhana, worship of Lord Vishnu, is the highest stage of perfection as realized by Devaki. But here Mother Yasoda performs no upasana, for she has developed transcendental ecstatic love for Krishna. Therefore, her position is better than that of Devaki. In order to show this, Srila Vyasadeva enunciates this verse, Treya Chopanishabi, etc. When a human being enters into the study of the Vedas to obtain vidya, knowledge, he begins to take part in human civilization. Then he advances further to study the Upanishads and gain Brahma Jnana in personal realization of the Absolute Truth. And then he advances still further to Sankhya Yoga in order to understand the Supreme Controller, who is indicated in Bhagavad Gita. Param Brahma Parandama Pavitram Paramam Bhavan Purusham Shasvatam, Bhagavad Gita 10:12. When one understands that Purusha, the Supreme Controller, to be Paramatma, one is engaged in the method of yoga. Jnanavastita tad gatena manasa pasyanti yam yogina. Bhagavatam 12:13:1. But Mother Yasoda has surpassed all these stages. She has come to the platform of loving Krishna as her beloved child, and therefore she is accepted to be on the highest stage of spiritual realization. The absolute truth is realized in three features. Brahmeti, Paramameti, Bhagavaniti Sabjate, Bhagavatam 1, 2, 11. But she is in such ecstasy that she does not care to understand what is Brahman, what is Paramatma, or what is Bhagavan. Bhagavan has personally descended to become her beloved child. Therefore, there is no comparison to Mother Yasoda's good fortune as declared by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Ramya kachid upasana vraja vadu vargena ya kalpita. The absolute truth, the supreme personality of Godhead, may be realized in different stages. As the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 4:11, Ye yatamam prapadyante tam sataiva bhajam yaham mama vartmanu vartante manusyam partha sarvasaha. As men surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. Everyone follows my path in all respects, O son of Pritha. One may be a karmi, a jnani, a yogi, and then a bhakta or prema bhakta. But the ultimate stage of realization is prema bhakti, as actually demonstrated by Mother Yasoda. Nama Om Vishnu Badaya Krishna Bastaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Itinamine. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharne Nirvasesa Sunyavadi Vaskacha Deshadarne. So, in this purport, Srila Prabhupada explains about the different purposes of the Vedas. Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana. So this Sambandha is also explained in the Adi Lila of Chaitanya Charitamrita, which means it means relationship, and it consists of four different things: ourselves, God, the universe, and a relationship with God and the universe. So this is actual knowledge. This is real knowledge. Knowledge means to know a matter and spirit and the controller of both. So Krishna is the actual controller of everything. And by understanding that, then we could advance in spiritual life. So he is the owner. He is the friend. And he is the enjoyer of everything in this universe. This is mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita 5:29 as the actual peace formula in society. And if people understand this, then there'll be actually peace in society. Artificially, they are trying to attain peace in society. They establish so many organizations. First they had the League of Nations, and then that didn't work. Then they tried the United Nations. Now that doesn't work, because they're simply a bunch of cats and dogs, and you can't expect any peace with simply a bunch of cats and dogs. They will simply fight with one another. You have to come to the human platform and understand who is God and what his position is, and then there can actually be peace in the world. So it doesn't matter. People will try to elect so many different leaders, but the people themselves are simply a bunch of hogs, dogs, camels, and asses. So whoever they elect is simply simply a big hog, dog, camel, or ass. So in this way, this is the situation of the world. And it doesn't matter what party they come from. In one lecture, Srila Prabhupada was mentioning that you have your Johnson and you have your Nixon, but they both come from the same stock. So what's the difference? There is no difference. So with such leaders, with such fools, third class, fourth class men, one can't expect peace in the world. So by understanding Krishna, then Prabhupada said if they get trained, even if there's democracy, they could actually elect a good leader. But without knowledge of Krishna, this is not possible. So there is Krishna and there is his different energies. Krishna, the Supreme Lord, he has diverse and unlimited energies, which are beyond our conception. However, great learned and liberated souls have studied and categorized these into three parts. The internal energy, the marginal energy, and the external energy. So the internal energy and the external energy, I mean the internal energy and the marginal energy are the superior energies. They are para or transcendental. And the external energy is the material energy or the inferior energy, which is in the mode of ignorance. So this internal energy consists of the spiritual world, and it consists of Radharani, the gopis, the queens of Dwarka, Lakshmi. It also consists of Krishna's parents. And the marginal energy consists of ourselves. This marginal means it's either in the internal energy or the external energy. It go either this way or that. When we are in the internal energy, we are in a normal condition of life. And when we are in the external energy, we're in an abnormal condition of life. But because we are qualitatively one with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we have a tendency to remain within the internal energy. But if we put ourselves in the external energy, trying to become happy in this, if we do that, we try to become happy in this material world, we will simply become frustrated because this is simply an artificial attempt. And anything that's artificial will not endure, will not give us actual happiness. So these different internal potencies are also broken down into three different categories. Krishna has three main categories, and internal, external, and marginal. And within the internal energy, there is also three different categories. There's Sandini, Ladini, and Samvit. So Sandini is the eternity or eternal existence. Ladini is bliss, and Samvit is knowledge. So in this way, they are broken down. So Krishna, he has a form that is eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss. Satchit Ananda Vigraha. And his form, or he is absolute. Not like the so-called scholars say that Krishna is different from his inner spirit. No, because Krishna is absolute, he's non-different from his form, his name, his quality, and his pastimes. And Krishna is omnipotent. He could do anything with any part of his body. Like Prabhupada quotes in Bhagavad Gita, it's 3:15 purport. He mentions how simply by the breathing of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Vedas are manifest. So simply by Krishna breathing, he could speak. He could speak simply by breathing. And as we know that simply by his glancing, he could eat. We put food before the deity, and simply by the deity seeing the food, the deity could eat the food. It's not that, I put some food before the deity and I brought it out and it looks the same. No, Krishna could eat by his seeing. He's not like us. And simply by his seeing, he impregnates the living entities into the material nature. And this way, he's the father of all living entities. So in this way, he has so many qualities. He is Purnam. He's all perfect. He's beyond the laws of material nature. He is the original creator, even of Lord Brahma. And he's smaller than the smallest. The spirit soul is 1/10,000th tip of a hair. And Krishna is so small that he's in the heart of the soul. And this way, he's smaller than the smallest. And he is also within all the atoms. So Krishna is explained in various ways. Terms that are used interchangeably are the Lord, the Master, the Controller, the Director, the Owner, or the Proprietor. So these are all used interchangeably. Just like if you say you're the owner of something, it's understood that you control that. If you say, well, I own it, but I can't control it, then you're not the actual owner. Just like if the government says, this land belongs to America, but then some other country comes over and controls that land, then they don't actually own that land. So controller means the owner means they actually control that. So Krishna is the supreme controller. And we are the controlled. He is Ishvara, Paramishvara. And we are minute Ishvaras. And everything is controlled. If somebody says that they're not controlled, that they are free to do anything they want, they are simply insane. Everyone is controlled, at least in our conditioned state. So everything we see is being controlled. Anything that is manifest has to be controlled. Nothing can be manifest without being controlled. It is childish to think otherwise. Just like a child may think that it is quite wonderful for a car to move automatically without being pulled by a horse or by some other animal. But a sane man knows that within the car there's a motor, and behind the motor there's a man or a driver. Similarly, those who are intelligent, they know that behind this cosmic manifestation, behind this everything, is the Supreme Personality of God who is controlling everything. So Krishna is the Purusha, and his energies are the Prakriti. So in this way, he is the controller. Prakriti means female. In this way, the Prakriti is controlled by Krishna, who is a Purusha. Just like the activities of the wife are controlled by the husband. So he is the actual controller, and everybody is simply his servants. He is a predominator, we are the predominated. He is the controller, we are the controlled. So Krishna, he directs he's situated within everyone's heart, and he directs everybody's senses. But he directs as we surrender unto him. And in connection with the pure devotee, he directly controls their senses. So everybody is controlled. If you're not controlled by Krishna, directly controlled by Krishna, then you're controlled by Maya. So this is our situation. So one who is intelligent, he'll want to be controlled directly by Krishna, not by Maya. But ultimately, everyone's under control. Maya is also controlled. So we're either controlled in that way directly by Krishna or indirectly by Krishna through Maya. So in this way, we want to be controlled by Krishna. And so how is that control? How does that control happen? How are we controlled directly by Krishna? That control is done by us voluntarily desiring to be controlled by Krishna out of love. It's simply by love. The Krishna, out of love, we want to control means directions. It's like I mentioned previous here how Krishna sits you in the heart and he directs. So it's direction. Control means you direct, like a director on a stage, do this, do that. So he's controlling, he's directing like that. So Krishna's directing, controlling us in that way, directing us in that way, and out of love, voluntarily love, we are doing that. It's not by force. It's not by any kind of force. Just like Prabhupada mentioned how, although I do not pay you, you do what I want because you do it out of love. So this is how it's done. It's not by force. Just like in Bengali, they say, simply grab a boy or a girl and tell them, you love me, you love me, you love me. This is not love. That I will kill you if you do not love me. So Krishna does not want that kind of love. He doesn't want to be that kind of a lover. That at the point of the revolver that you have to love me. No, love means reciprocal. It's not threatening. It's reciprocal. There's nice feelings. That is real love. Otherwise, it is rape. It's not real love. So how does a devotee understand what Krishna wants? What is the way that's the devotee understands it's by hearing from Krishna. So hearing from Krishna is done in various ways. It's, of course, to hear from Krishna in the neophyte stage, we approach the spiritual master because those instructions are coming down from the spiritual master. And by hearing from the spiritual master, we could hear or we can understand what Krishna wants. Although Krishna is speaking to everybody, only the devotees can hear him. Not everybody could hear him. As Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, to those who are constantly devoted to me and worship me with love, I could give the understanding by which they could come to me. This is Bhagavad Gita 10:10. So somebody may say that, I talk with God. God told me this, and I'm doing this. But what is their qualification to talk to God? Are they engaged 24 hours a day in devotional service with love and faith? You know, and to be engaged in devotional service, you have to accept the spiritual master. So that's not their situation. They're simply a third-class fool talking all nonsense. So one who is a devotee, if he hears somebody that, I talk to God, and they're just simply a nonsense. They don't have a spiritual master. They're not engaged in 24 hours a day in devotional service. That devotee should just know that that person's simply a cheater. They'll tell them, you don't talk to God. You're simply a cheater. I can't be cheated like that. So that's the situation with such people. And it's not such an easy thing. To talk with God is not such an easy thing. Just like if a common man goes to he tells people, I talked to the president. What's your position? You're an ordinary man. You talk to the president. No gentleman would accept such a statement. So to be qualified for God to speak to you, you have to be qualified. Just like Srila Prabhupada mentions about himself when he was here in New York, and last time in 1976, he was being interviewed. And he mentioned how Krishna speaks directly to the pure devotee. And he said how he picks his leaders in the society because Krishna directly speaks to him. That the devotee is constantly, pure devotee is constantly consulting Krishna, and he's giving him instructions on everything. So this is a position of a pure devotee. He directly speaks with Krishna, and Krishna directly speaks to him. So in this way, he understands what Krishna wants, and he follows what Krishna wants out of love. So Krishna is the only proprietor. He owns everything. He owns everything in this universe. We belong to Krishna. Our bodies belong to Krishna. Our senses belong to Krishna. So in this way, everything should be used in his service. Just like one who's working as a cashier, he's counting millions of dollars. But he doesn't accept one penny for himself. But if he starts putting some money in his pocket, then he'll be accepted as a criminal. Or if he stands up and announces to everybody that, actually, everyone, this is not my money, I just renounce all this, then he'll be accepted as a crazy man. So either way, nothing belongs to us. This is our property. We can't renounce it. It's not ours, but simply we have to engage in Krishna's service and simply accept what we need for our maintenance. Just simply accept our quota. In this way, we'll be happy. If everybody accepts just their quota, whatever is needed, then there will be no fighting in the world. But the problem is the people, out of greed, they want more and more and more and more. But you only could eat so much. It's like, how much could you eat? It's not that, I have so much money, therefore I could eat more than anybody else, or I can enjoy more sense gratification than anybody else. No, everybody is limited. You just have to accept what you need for your maintenance. And in this way, if people act like that, understand that God is in control, he's the owner, and that we're simply his children, and everybody has a right to the property of the Father, but they should share and not fight among themselves and disturb the Father. So in this way, devotees are engaged in devotional service. Sambandha, Abhideya, Abhideya's devotional service, engaging in devotional service, hearing, chanting, remembering about the Lord. And this is achieved by understanding Krishna is achieved by devotional service. It's not simply by one's blunt material senses that one can understand Krishna. No, Krishna reveals himself to the devotee when he's pleased by his devotional service. And devotional service means that one has no profit, no desire for material profit, either in this life or in the next. So with this attitude, one will attain perfection in this life. And one will reach the supreme destination and go back to home, back to Godhead. So we can stop there. Are there any questions on any of these points? Yes, Maharaj.
Thank you for a very enlightening class. Definitely filled with Shastric information, filled with so many statements that Srila Prabhupada has made. I could not find anything in your talk which is of a deviant nature, so you're to be applauded for that. My question to you is that at the outset of your talk, you mentioned that all the leaders are cats and dogs and camels and asses, and that's why the government is completely unsuccessful. Or United League of Nations was unsuccessful, United Nations is unsuccessful, and my understanding is that this country is basically unsuccessful. If the leaders were to come forth and come to you and say to you, okay, you called us cats and dogs and camels and asses, and we can't run the government. So tell me in your own words what you would like us to do in order to guarantee a successful government, and also what do you consider constitutes a successful government? What is your concept of when a government is running successfully? Of course, Krishna had an idea, and that's why he wanted Yudhishthir. Yudhishthir knew what a successful government was. So what would you do to cause the leaders of today to change so that they could order or they can direct the government in such a way that it would be successful? And what do you constitute? What do you mean by successful? Okay?
Successful means to follow the principles of religion. So the principles of austerity, cleanliness, truthfulness, and mercy. So in this way, if the government mandates this, then Krishna will be pleased and bestow his blessings upon whatever government does this. In other words, just for starters, just like if people would just simply protect the cows, if they would not kill the cows, if they just did that one thing, that nation would be so successful. But we don't find that in any country. As far as I know, there's no country, even in India, that observes that everybody's killing the cows. So if you kill your mother, how could you be happy? It's not possible. And of course, we know the other things, intoxication and illicit sex, meaning, of course, these things went on, but they weren't very prevalent. You know, they weren't so prevalent. Just like we know that the Kshatriyas, they would take intoxication. Sometimes they would drink some rice wine and have some kind of offering. And then the Sudras, they would offer a goat to Goddess Kali, like that. And so but it was very much restricted. You know, the Kshatriyas would gamble if they had to gamble. And Prabhupada even mentions how the Vaishyas, they would also gamble once in a year to try their luck, you know. But it was very, very much restricted. But since the principles of religion are not being followed, then there's no peace in society. Without peace, it's very difficult for them to take up Krishna consciousness. So by the government having these principles being followed, then there'll be great peace in the world, and then it'll be very easy for people to take up Krishna consciousness and become purified. Like that.
I just might add one thing. Truthfulness, austerity, mercy, and cleanliness are activities which purify, of course, not only oneself and help purify others and purify a society. But that is not a guarantee for success, though. You left out the most important point, and that is surrender to Krishna, love of Krishna, glorification of Krishna, putting Krishna at the center of our lives. If Krishna is not at the center, and even though you may practice all these austerities and perform cleanliness and so forth, that is no guarantee. Krishna is the controller, as you so nicely stated throughout your talk. He's the one who can make it successful or make it unsuccessful according to how he sees we are surrendered to him. So all these four things that were mentioned, they're fine, but they have to all be based on the principle that I am doing this to serve Krishna, to honor Krishna, to glorify Krishna, as part of my surrender to Krishna. When Krishna is the main focal point, then we become purified, and that purification causes us or enables us to appreciate the principles that you just mentioned, cleanliness, austerity, and mercy, and so forth. Otherwise, if there's a little bit of purification, it's hard to appreciate that. It's just a dictum. It's just do this, do this, do this, do that. But when I'm beginning to feel and understand the value, the nature, the importance of the Supreme Lord, and how I'm neglecting him, ignoring him, disregarding him, and all that, then there's motivation for cleanliness, truthfulness, austerity, and mercy. So I just wanted to not disagree with anything that you've said, but I'm sensing is when you're making a cake, sometimes there's something left out of the mix. So the, what is being left out is the most important point, and that is Krishna. All these fallible soldiers who are trying to lead, they have to be made infallible. How they become infallible? By associating with, by surrendering to, by absorbing to, by following the instructions of the infallible, which is the Supreme Lord Krishna. So that's, I'm only adding something to what you've said.
Yeah, that's, disagreeing with what you've said. Yeah, well, that's, anyway, Yeah, that's part of the equation. Like, there's a negative and the positive. So the negative is not this. And what do? You chant Hare Krishna. So that has to be introduced, of course, you know. But I'm thinking also in terms of it's very difficult for people to even take up Krishna consciousness if they're so much engaged in sinful activity. Just like Prabhupada mentions about those who are killers of the animals. They can't take up Krishna consciousness. So by them following the principles of religion, then devotees, it's not that, okay, the government does this, and then we'll just sit back and do nothing. No, we should take advantage of the situation and increase the preaching of Krishna consciousness. So the devotees have to do that. Like Prabhupada mentioned about Varnashrama. Varnashrama means following these four regulator principles. The Brahmanas strictly follow these four regulator principles. The other sections of society follow these principles, not as strictly as the Brahmanas, like the Kshatriyas. They may drink wine, they may gamble, but it's very much restricted. So, by Varnashrama, these principles will be followed. And Prabhupada says, he said, by this Varnashrama, then. Krishna consciousness could be spread very all over the world in a big way. He said, what we are doing right now is small scale. But if you want to do something on a big scale, then you have to introduce this Varnashrama. And that means, includes these four regulator principles like that. Okay? Anything else? Okay. Thank you very much. All glories to Shishi, Guru, and Gauranga.